Happy Easter, everybody. Just as we're handing out those the sheets, just remember all the programs are in recess over school holidays. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, the miracle of Easter. Lord, everything that you went through on the cross, Lord, but Lord, the fruition, Lord, on this Sunday. Lord, will we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Lord, we want to give you honor and glory this day. Father, as we open the word today, we just pray that you speak to us. But Lord, we're in awe of these events, Lord, that you would intervene in humanity in such a dramatic way. Lord, that you would come to this earth, Lord, and then that you would go to the cross, Lord. But Lord, then you would rise again. So Lord, we just want to honor you. Lord, speak to us as we open your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a very powerful clip going over the events of birth of Christ and right up to the cross and his resurrection. Well, praise God, we're here to celebrate today because Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, I just want to tell you, he's no more alive today than he was on Friday. All right? He was fully alive then. Jesus is alive. He was alive then. He's been alive since he rose from the dead over 2,000 years ago. And it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we honor and we worship this day. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to talk about a heaven quake today as we look at our theme for Heaven Invades on this particular day, this Easter Sunday, which were the most monumental moment in history. As we have three major events in history, there's the birth of Christ, and there was the death of Christ, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of those three events are all very, very important. If Jesus didn't come as a man, then he wouldn't have died on the cross, so he had to be born. He died on the cross, but he also was raised again from the dead, because if he wasn't raised again from the dead, then the actual cross itself was actually devoid of meaning. But because of that together, the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are all very powerful events and all running together, particularly the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how important it is. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:3, this is what the Apostle Paul said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." It's of first importance. It's pivotal in our Christian faith. And there's some wonderful apologetics that are out upon the point of Easter. Many of you would have seen the movie Case for Christ. If you haven't seen that, then I encourage you to do that. If you have any doubts in terms of the authenticity or the reality or of the documented fact that Jesus rose again from the dead, I encourage you to watch that film. You can get it. I don't know if it's on Netflix as yet. I don't know, but you'll be able to watch it. I encourage you to do that. But it's a pivotal event in human history, and that was, of course, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the most dramatic events that's ever happened in terms of humanity, perhaps the most dramatic event in humankind. I just want to read a passage. You can read through the Gospels about the story of the resurrection. And it's interesting as you read through there, what is really great about that, that all of those accounts that you read in the New Testament are not all exactly the same. And the same as if you had any witnesses that are talking about a particular event, they're all going to give a slightly different opinion from their point of view on it. Of course, they all harmonize and marry together, but there's different detail. For example, when Jesus was on the cross, we know that one of the Gospels says, he is the King of the Jews, and another one has it in the three languages. Well, of course, they marry together. When we look at the women going to the tomb, which we want to read about, we're going to read about two women, but one of the Gospels that talks about three. Some says many women. Overall, we know that there was at least five women there. And it's great the way everything all comes together. But I want to focus on the Gospel of Matthew and its account of the resurrection, which is a very dramatic account, and follow through those events and talk about obviously how it applies to us, the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead. And I say fact because it's a historically proven event. You'll know that the historian Josephus, the Jewish historian, we know Tacitus, the Roman historian, different historians over time, that these are documented facts of which we put our Christian faith on. And as says in your newsletter, if you've got the new newsletter, it says at the front of that, if the Christ didn't rise from the dead, as the Apostle Paul says, he said, then your faith is useless. And worse than that, he says, we're a bunch of crooks telling you about something that isn't true, but it is true. And we know that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. The very fact that all of the disciples, how they were tortured and brutalized, and they died horrific deaths. But and because they, you don't do that for a lie. You don't go through all that for a lie. You see, you would have seen on the news, you see pictures of David Warner crying. You have Steve Smith crying and all of them about this sandpaper on the ball scandal. And I tell you what, to you Australians, we're a pretty amazing mob, aren't we? We get hysterical about someone putting a bit of sandpaper on a ball, okay, which was cheating. But if he was a terrorist or the pedophiles or whatever, drug lord, drug dealers or whatever, but our outrage of things is so disproportionate. And yet people, when we come to Easter and the most incredible event in human history, Jesus on the cross and then dying on the cross for our sins and being raised again, for some, it won't even rate a mention. They just think, be grateful they've got a long weekend. But this is a significant thing that we're talking about. This is the most pivotal event in history. It was the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the account I want to look at is from the Gospel of Matthew, and we're reading from chapter 28, and we can read this together. After the Sabbath, so Good Friday, they had then the Saturday. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, which is, of course, Sunday. Unless we get a calendar with Monday, first day, throw it away. Get one that is Sunday because it's the first day of the week. Monday, after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. And there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back to the stone and sat on it. Now just listen to that for a moment. The earthquake didn't cause the stone to roll down. It was the angel that did it. But there was this massive earthquake. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. He was an angel that appeared. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and become like dead men. And I can understand that. If you have this angelic being coming and appearing in glory and majesty before you, and they were just terrified and they were just like dead men. And we know this later on. It tells us further on in the passage that these guards, who later when they came to their senses, realized they're in a bit of bother now. Because they're now there with a tomb that's empty. And so they go and report what had happened. And then the chief priest said, look, we'll try to fix it with the governor. And so and spread a rumor that they stole his body, which we know is not what happened. The guards were so afraid of him, they shook and became like dead men. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you in Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. So the woman hurried away from the tomb, and afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, and this is pretty awesome, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. Now just imagine that. You've just come, these women, and tells us that they were going there. Actually tells us in Mark's Gospel, they're going to the tomb and they got in their mind that they want to prepare Jesus' body. Now, the Scripture tells us that Joseph of Arimathea, whose tomb which Jesus was laid in, and also Nicodemus, had gone, got Jesus' body. They had prepared Jesus in the ceremonial way, and he was laid in the tomb. But these ladies had wanted to do that themselves. They were going there, and they were talking about, how are we going to roll this massive stone, this enormous stone that has sealed the tomb? What are we going to do with that? What are we thinking? You know, when we get there, how are we going to push this stone away? And so these women, they go there, they go to see where Jesus was laid. They knew where the tomb was. They'd followed, they knew what was happening. When they went there, they see this incredible sight, which we'll talk about a little more in a moment. But when they're told by an angel, it's okay, he's not here, go tell the others, they're running, and then they encounter Jesus himself. He appears before him. And it's amazing that Jesus does this. Because one of the things, again, another proof of the fact of Jesus' resurrection is not only the fact that the disciples held onto that and that they went to their deaths proclaiming that. You don't live and die for a lie. But also the fact is, in the gospel accounts, the first ones that heard that Jesus was risen from the dead were women. Now, I can tell you, in the Jewish culture, women weren't reliable witnesses in their culture. They believe that even in a case, a woman's testimony was invalid. It didn't count. They didn't acknowledge women. They dishonored women. But Jesus doesn't dishonor women. He honors that men and women are equal. And the fact is that Jesus appeared first to these women. And the fact is that in the gospel accounts, if you wanted to spread a lie about something that didn't happen, you wouldn't put in there what was culturally seen to be unreliable witnesses. And yet this is exactly what happened. It's what recorded in the gospel, that Jesus appeared to these women. So suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. What an incredible day that would have been. Sunday morning, they woke up just full of despair and just still can't get their head around the fact that Jesus, the one who did all these miracles, who said all these incredible things, that Jesus, who they thought was the Messiah, he was the one. And then Jesus was hopelessly and hideously crucified before them on a cross, and the despair upon their lives, how shattered they would have been, how broken they would have been. And yet on this day, as they're going off to the tomb, they find this tomb is empty, that stone has been rolled away. And as they get there, they're met by an angel who talks to them, which is quite an amazing. But then Jesus himself comes and appears before him. We know from the scripture there's 10 different occasions in the Gospels where Jesus appeared to them. But one time on the side of the mountain of Galilee there was over 500 people at once saw Jesus who had been risen again. And the scripture tells us about that. And also, there's also another extra one as well. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, where he's talking about the importance of the resurrection, that whole passage of 1 Corinthians 15. Go home and read it. He talks about also having appeared to James, James being the brother of Jesus Christ, who was very skeptical. And he was one of the ones who was with them. And they're saying, Jesus is teaching. And they're saying, the family saying, get him out of there, you know, like they're almost embarrassed. And yet something changed in James' life, that he actually became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Something dramatic happened that changed him, and his whole life was shifted from the events of the cross. But Jesus appears to these women, and it's obviously a very dramatic thing that the Lord himself, who they saw die on the cross, he was dead on the cross. Then to make sure he was dead, the Romans who shoved that spear in his side just to make sure, so they didn't have to break his legs so he would suffocate quickly. He was already dead, and they knew he was dead, and yet they saw the risen Christ. And so they were absolutely amazed and astounded. Here they're going to this tomb wondering, how on earth are we going to get this stone out? They arrive at the tomb and they find that the stone has already been rolled away. And an angel talks to them and says, go tell them. And on the way, they encounter Jesus himself. And imagine how awesome that would have been. And so we're going to take it up in John's Gospel in John chapter 20. And so they go, it says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers in Galilee, there they will see me. Now, so the scripture tells us in the rest of that passage in Matthew 28, Mary Magdalene, she obviously, they've got the disciples are over summer in Bethany. You got Peter and John who remained actually in Jerusalem. And so Mary Magdalene's going running to go tell them about what has happened. It's the other ladies that are going back to the other disciples who encountered Jesus. And so Mary Magdalene, she runs and she comes and she tells, she finds Peter and John. And in verses 3 in John 20 onwards, it says, so Peter and the other disciple started to the tomb. So Mary Magdalene runs and says, you're not going to believe this, but Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. You've got to see this. So Peter and the other disciple started to the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outrun Peter. I like this. John's writing this. And even though John was very humble, in fact, his whole gospel, he doesn't really refer to himself. We know it's the gospel of John. And he says, that one who saw these things, his testimony is true. As humble as John was, he still wanted us to know that he ran the race to the tomb. But the other disciple outran Peter, and reaching the tomb first, he bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there. Now just imagine, that they know Jesus was in this tomb, which had been sealed with a Roman seal, that there was guards on that, that if you cross any of that proximity to that area, you are dead, and it was your life for theirs. If you mess, try to get into where those guards are, that squad of soldiers, if you get in their square meter, if you try to get into that space, it's your life for their life. They will fight to the death to make sure you do not get in that. And that this massive stone that weighed several tons that had been rolled away and the seal broken. And they go running and they see this incredible sign. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter, so that's the other disciple's John, and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but didn't go in. And so he's run up and he's gone up to the tomb and, whoa, he's just stopped. He can't believe what he's seeing, but Peter being Peter, we know what Peter's like. Peter's impetuous. Peter just goes charging straight into the tomb, and then he's looking over. And then so John goes and has a look, and they're just amazed at what they're seeing. And Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went inside. And listen to what it says. He went inside. He saw and he believed. He saw and believed. The next verse, which we haven't got there on the screen, says they still didn't understand that, you know, from what Jesus has said, that he was going to rise again. But John, he was convinced. When John went in there and saw the open tomb, he didn't need to see Jesus resurrected before him. He saw that tomb and he knew. He knew everything that Jesus said. This is true. Jesus has risen again from the dead. Peter, on the other hand, Peter, who was the one who'd walked on the water and saw these miracles and did all this, saw all this stuff, he still wasn't convinced. But we're told later on that Jesus himself appears to Peter, one of the five appearances that happened on that Easter Sunday where Jesus appeared. And there was over 40 days, there was 10 plus 1 with James is 11 over that period of time, over 40 days when Jesus appeared to people. And he also appeared to Peter. And of course, we know that Peter was totally transformed because Peter became the rock on which the church was established. And so we've got this incredible morning, this incredible Easter morning, these heartbroken women that are coming, going to the tomb. They find that the stone has been rolled away. An angel talks to them. They excitedly, some go running back to tell the other disciples. Mary Magdalene comes running to tell Peter and John. And they go there and they find that the tomb is empty. All Christianity actually hinges on the Christian faith. And as I said, if you want to see a good apologetic on that, you want to have a, if you have any doubts about it, watch Lee Strobel's Read the Case for Christ or watch the movie. Very, very powerful. But there's this incredible event that happens, and I really want to talk about that, about this heaven quake that occurred. Now, I really appreciate that term. I'm really grateful for Anne for drawing this term to my attention, a heaven quake. And there's a book by Samuel Wells, and I just describe something that he writes. He says this, "An earthquake is when deep in the bowels of the earth something shifts." Now, we know when there's an earthquake, there's the tectonic plates, when they move and they some will shift and raise up a little bit and crunch together, and all that seismic activity will cause an earthquake, so when something shifts. A heaven quake is when deep in the heart of heaven something shifts and the earth will never be the same again. I wish I had said those words. Samuel Wells said those words. A heaven quake is when deep in the heart of heaven something shifts and earth will never be the same again. And that's exactly what happened on that Easter morning. You can imagine this tomb. And Jesus' body has been laid in this tomb. And they've rolled the stone across that tomb. The tombs aren't designed that you go visiting the tomb. It's locked in the tomb. It rolls back into place and locks the tomb. Again, we had the Roman seal upon it. You had the guards there. And Jesus is lying in this tomb. He's died upon the cross, a horrific, brutal death. And here he is lying in the tomb. And then something incredible happens. It says that there was an earthquake, but I love the phrase, a heaven quake. Because at that time, Jesus Christ, who's lying there, and he died, he physically died. His body was dead, completely dead. And again, if you're not sure that he was actually really dead again, read some of those things with all the scientific and medical proofs that Jesus was actually dead, and he was lying there dead. But then there's this shaking, this incredible shaking begins to happen. Now, we know it's the shaking itself, this heaven quake, if you like, which doesn't cause the stone, but something is happening here within the confines of the tomb. And it's that the power of God is coming down. Heaven is invading. The power of God is coming down in such strength and such power. And we know from the scriptures, we'll look at a couple more in a moment, that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon the body of Jesus Christ. And there's this incredible power as it comes. And there's this shaking here on earth as the power of God comes down with such a power, such an incredible force comes down. The power of the Holy Spirit coming down upon the body of Jesus Christ. And as there's this shaking, as heaven intercedes and intersects with earth at that point and at that time, even that the whole earth begins to shake as the power of God is reverberating from that tomb. And at that moment, an angel comes down. down. And an angel comes down as Jesus is coming. He comes back to life at that very moment. An angel comes down from heaven and comes and touches and rolls away the stone. And Christ, the risen Lord, is then able to come forth from that tomb in victory, having defeated sin and death. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. This is the pivotal moment in history where we have Jesus who's died upon the cross, and he did that for your sin and for mine. But then the power of God comes with such a force and such a strength as the heaven and earth touch collision here of the power of God on this earth. There's the shaking, and the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes back to life. What an amazing event this is, an event in human history that changes everything for everyone for all time. This is the most dramatic event that has ever happened. Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. And why is it so significant that Jesus rose from the dead? And as they say that, you know, that other religions, you can always find their tomb. They'll take you and show you their tomb. But Jesus, he does not have a tomb where Jesus is. Jesus is risen again from the dead. You know, you can go to have a look at the Church of the Sepulchre where Jesus, supposedly that was supposed to be where the tomb was, but there's one of two locations and they're not really quite sure exactly which one was physically the actual place where Joseph Arimathea's tomb was. But the fact is that Jesus is risen from the dead. Other leaders, you go there, they'll tell you this is their tomb. This is where their religious leader was buried. But as I've heard said a couple of times, that if you were going to ask directions for someone and you came to a fork in the road and you weren't sure which way to go, who would you ask? The dead man or the living man? And Jesus is alive if we follow after a risen Christ. Why is it so significant, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this, and we just see this as an amazing triumph of the Lord. It says, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, declared with power to be the Son of God. It affirmed everything that Jesus has said. What Jesus said, it proved he was who he said he was. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the anointed one. And it was demonstrated by his resurrection from the dead. And if that didn't happen, the Apostle Paul says, well, we're to be most pitied if that wasn't true. But it is true, and we know a historical effect testified by so many witnesses that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And it proves he was who he said he was, that the power of God came down upon him and rose him again from the dead. What an amazing event in history that changes everything for everyone for all time, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this heaven quake, where heaven intersected earth, causing a physical shaking of the earth, the power of God that was released that raised Jesus from the dead. And that gives us such hope, knowing that he is our Savior. It proves, demonstrates who he is. But also that our salvation, and already we already read the scripture today around communion, 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The salvation that we have, what was done on the cross, what did he do on the cross? Well, we know that he hung on the cross. Again, this is a historically confirmed event. No one queries this as a historical event. Jesus Christ was a man who lived and came and ministered in that region from Galilee and in that area, Jesus of Nazareth, and how he ministered in that area and how he was crucified in Jerusalem. No question about that. Jesus Christ died on a cross. Why did he die on the cross? Well, we've already said on Good Friday the reason he did that, he died in your place and my place for our sin. And we know that every one of us has sinned, whether it's from sandpapering a little leather ball, or whatever it is, lying, cheating, stealing, lusting, fighting, slandering, stealing, chilling. I hope none of us have done any killing. Whatever it is, we've all done stuff, every one of us. And the Lord looks at sin, and he doesn't have degrees of sin. Sin is sin. He calls sin as sin. And the scripture tells us, it says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And Romans 3:23, all have sinned. We've all sinned. Every one of us has sinned. And we all are worthy of that penalty. But Jesus died on the cross, died on that cross in our place for our sin, so that we don't have to have the penalty that we know that we deserve. It's not just a suspension for 12 months or 9 months or something. We deserve the death penalty for what we have done. And we all acknowledge that, yeah, we know that we're not perfect. We know that we've done stuff wrong. However, God is perfect and God is holy and he's righteous. And we can never bridge that gap out of our own human effort and our trying harder and trying to be a good person and hoping it all good and it doesn't, you know, my good outweighs, it doesn't work that way. It's only because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross that his blood that was paid for our sin, that we have forgiveness with our Father in heaven. But then also the fact that he rose again from the dead, it gives us that promise that can apply to us, that he defeated sin and death. And a lot of people live in fear of death. We don't have to live in fear of death. We're not afraid of death. Because Jesus has defeated death and we stand in the victory of Christ. And so our salvation is assured. He conquered sin, but he also conquered death. Death could not hold him. But the other amazing thing about when heaven, the power of heaven came down and Jesus Christ's body lying in the tomb and the power of God came and raised him up again to life, that the same power is actually for us who believe. The Bible tells us that. It says in Romans 8:11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, you give your heart to Christ, as we've said, you give your life to Christ, you say, Lord, I acknowledge that this happened and I want what you did to count for me. Not that I just believe God and believe in God. Believing in God is not enough. The devil, he believes in God. He knows there's a God. And in fact, the scripture tells us the demons shudder that they know there's a God. Believing in God is not enough. Believing in God is not enough. It's that this transaction of Christ dying on the cross applies to us. And that only happens as we come to Christ and we surrender to him and say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my sin. I give you my junk. I give you all of that stuff. And that is put upon his cross. And in exchange, he gives us his holiness, his righteousness, and his grace, his forgiveness, that we become a child of God. And so we make that transaction. But when we make that transaction, when we give our life to Christ, something happens. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, his spirit comes and indwells within our own heart and in our own life. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. And Ephesians 1:18 and 20 says this, and his incomparable great power for us who believes. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the right hand of the heavenly realms. Now just think about that. And in his comparably great power for us who believe, for those who believe, those who give our life to Christ, that power is the same as the mighty strength, this heavenquake, this power of God that came so strong and such awesome power that was exerted that saw Christ from the dead. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Wow. Power of God to come down and not just for that moment in history where Jesus was risen from the dead. With the very same power, that dramatic event that caused such a shaking, such a stirring, which caused even the physical earth to respond to something that was happening from the heart of God and in the heavenly, there's something, that same power is available and residing within us. What an amazing thing that is, that when you come to Christ, that his power is within us. And so we have salvation, we have the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, the same power that dramatically caused that shaking, the heavenquake. But we also have the promise of eternal life. And see, there's a lot of people who go through life and it's quite sad because at the end of the day, they honestly don't know what will happen to them when they would die. And that they hope that, well, I believe in God, they hope that's enough. Unfortunately, it's not enough. They hope they've been a good person. But I tell you what, there's a whole lot of good people who do not know God at all. Being a good person, in fact, our good is not good anyway. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says that our good deeds are like filthy rags to compared to God. And so, and a lot of people go through life not knowing about how they're going, what will happen to them ultimately. Because one day we all do die. Some people live their life and they don't really, really know what will happen to them. And that's very sad. Some people live actually in fear of death. They're afraid of that. They're afraid of what will happen to them. Because if they don't know the Lord, the Word teaches us, oh, there's just oblivion. But it's actually far worse than oblivion if we don't know the Lord. And the Bible makes it very clear. But when we come to Christ, when we acknowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross in our place for the sins, took the very punishment that we deserve, that we can have forgiveness and we can have the righteousness of Christ himself given to us, so that when God looks at us, he says, you're perfect even as Jesus was perfect. You're holy even as Jesus is holy. You're righteous even as Jesus is righteous. And so our position with the Lord is secure. And we know we have that promise of eternal life. And that's why we don't fear death. And even when it says in 1 Thessalonians, and I think it's chapter 4, where it talks about it's not grieving like the rest of men when someone dies. We're not like those who are without hope, because we know that Jesus being raised from the dead not only is the way that validates who he said he was, not only makes this transaction of the cross valid and brings life and hope into that, not only do we have the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living within us, but also the resurrection, it counts for us. The scripture says this, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And so the other part of the resurrection is that, well, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is that resurrection promise is there for us. We have the promise of eternal life, that we live forever in his glory, in his grace, and being loved by the creator of the universe. What an amazing thing that will be. What an amazing thing will be. Another movie, we talked a couple of movies already, another great movie. If you haven't seen it, don't know if it's still on, but hopefully it is. I can't imagine. If you haven't seen that, go see. It's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant movie. We can't really imagine what it's going to be like, but it's going to be awesome in the presence of God. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus and present us to you with himself. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we also have the affirmation of the promise that we also will be raised from the dead, that we will meet him and we will live forever. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead and he will raise us also. What an incredible hope that we live with. That we're not afraid of death, we're not afraid of dying, because we know what our future is. We know that is secure in the Lord, and so we rejoice in that. It's always hard for those that are left behind. We always feel that loss, but for us, when we die, we know what will happen to us. We don't live our lives wondering, hoping, wishing. We know for sure. We have the assurance because Jesus Christ raised again from the dead. So my prayer for us this morning is that, as on this Easter morning, if we ponder that empty tomb, as those women who are going there to the tomb thinking, as it said in Mark's gospel, how are we going to get rid of this whopping big stone? You know, what are we thinking? What are we going to do? They go there and they find that already this amazing heaven quake has happened. God's heaven's come down. The power of the Holy Spirit has caused Jesus to rise from the dead. They see the stone is gone and they're in awe of that. And then you get Peter and John who go running to have a look at this tomb. And some people are a little bit like Peter or like John. John hesitated for a moment. Peter just goes bowling in as Peter would do. John hesitates, but John sees, the scripture says, he saw that Christ was resurrected and he believed. Now Peter, and it amazes me, Peter of all people took longer to get through Peter's head, but God uses us unlikely people, amen. And yet Peter, who I would have thought Peter would have been, yeah, you beauty, I knew it. He was still in a little bit of doubt. I pray this morning that if you've come this morning and if you haven't given your life to Christ, that you'll be like John who looks in and sees the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead And he saw that and he believed. Something changed in his life. His whole life was shaken beyond measure when John gave his life and acknowledged, yes, definitely, he is the Messiah. He is the risen Christ. His life was never the same. Peter took a little bit longer that Jesus himself appeared to him. And then later we have the other account where Jesus is saying, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Jesus talking to Peter. But Peter got there in the end, and I praise God he did, because Peter was an amazing figure in the early church, and God used him incredibly powerfully, miraculously through his life. But we come to one point when we look at the empty tomb. It's one thing to ponder the cross, but also the effect of the empty tomb is something that forces us to make a decision. And I encourage you this morning, if you haven't made the decision to give your life to Christ, do that. Because an incredible event happened, a heaven quake occurred, where the power of God came and saw Christ risen from the dead. And as I said, it changes everything for everyone for all time. And I pray that this day it will change your life. We don't have to live like we're living. We don't have to live in shame and guilt and failure and never being good enough, trying to live under performance, trying to please everyone, which we can never do, trying to be a good enough person, which we can never be, try to do all of this stuff that we can just never do, trying to aspire to something we can never be. But with Christ, then everything falls into place. Our life, this life, falls into place. Eternal life falls into place. And there's nothing more powerful than that. Let's stand at our feet. I just want to pray with us this morning, just as we close in prayer together. But it's our custom in the church here that to invite people to come for prayer. Some people come forward and they want prayer for healing. We pray for healing and people get healed. People come for prayer for all sorts of reasons. But we want to give you the invitation this morning that if you've never given, asked Christ into your life, you've never actually had what he did for everyone apply to you because you've not received it, then receive it to this day. Say, I want what Jesus did. I want it to apply to me. I want it real. I want it personal. And I want the Lord to touch my heart and reveal his life to me. And if that's you this morning, I'd love you to come forward and we'd love to pray with you today. The Lord's touching people's lives even now. And so, Father, we just thank you. Lord, as we stand here, Lord, and we're just in awe of you. Lord, that heaven would come down in such a way, Lord, that Christ, Lord, first came and walked upon this earth. Him who knew no sin became sin for us. Lord, that you came down and walked among us. The Word became flesh. And Lord, that you died upon the cross in our place for our sin. You took the punishment that we deserve so that we don't have to have that punishment. But instead, we have the promise of eternal life. And we have your power in our life for this life that we live now. Lord, we're in awe of that. And Lord, we just thank you for the resurrection. Lord, that prove, Lord, beyond any doubt, Lord, that you are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. And so, Lord, we want to honor you this day. And Father, there's anyone here today who does not know you personally. They may believe in God, but they don't know you personally. Lord, they have not had that sacrifice count for them. Lord, I pray you give them the courage to come forward and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want it to count. Lord, give them the courage even now, Lord, to get out of the seat, Lord, and come, Lord, as others come for prayer this day. And Father, for every one of us, Lord, that know you, Lord, that live with the confidence, Lord, in this life and the life to come. Lord, I pray that we'll be ever mindful, Lord, of how amazing that event was. But Lord, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is what is within us and within our hearts. So let us grab a hold of that and, Lord, ponder that, Lord, and walk in that. Walk in the glory of that, Father. So Lord, we just thank you this glorious Easter day. Lord, we stand and declare that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he has conquered sin and he's conquered death. And so Lord, we give you all honor and all praise this day in Jesus' name.